February 13, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show.
Everything was set in stone, preordained. You are the subtraction, and you are the sum. I am the crushed cheekbone, restless leg syndrome.
Watch for Pedro Show, happy Saturday, middle of the month, right? Pert near. Start off with Why Was I Born from John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell. Yeah, he didn't play with the guitar a lot, record rather, so this is special for my guest. Ben Salter with Restless Leg Syndrome. Brother Matt, the pleasure, Port Love Grotto, quit Quarantino mode, but I'm not totally man alone because those engineers in Estonia with their righteous Skype invention, I got Brother Ben Salter talking to us from Hobart, Tasmania, part of Australia. Welcome aboard, Ben.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been hearing you a long time, and now I get to learn about your musical journey, how you got to where you are now as a permanent installation at a museum. Luckily, you're not in a glass box, and you're breathing and doing songs. And your earliest, let's go back, way back, like your earliest musical memory, man, please.
I guess my earliest musical memory would be singing in the car, like my parents would always sort of had, like, I wouldn't say it was a super musical household, but we always had music in the house. And my parents, my dad was really into Creedence Clearwater Revival, and he used to have like a tape, a reel-to-reel tape machine under the house that we never actually turned on, but I would go down there and find all these reel-to-reel tapes and of like the Stones and stuff. And I always thought my dad was really a bit of a stiff, you know, he's pretty straight, conservative sort of guy. But then when I found all these Rolling Stones reel-to-reels and stuff under the house, I knew there was some sort of inclination. But yeah, my mother was really into like, you know, Paul Simon, Graceland. I remember that album getting played a lot.
Let me get this straight. Ben, let me get this straight. You said you found some reel-to-reels, but at first you said you were here, you were singing in the car.
Yeah, we were singing. We used to sing in the car a lot when we'd go on trips and stuff. So there'd always be tapes, you know, like there'd be.
A reel-to-reel tape recorder in the car?
No, not in the car. Not in the car. That was just like, that was two unrelated musical recollections.
Well, they're kind of related. They're both music. Now, look, when I met Dee Boone, the only rock band he ever heard was Creedence. So.
Oh, wow. Well, if there's only one you're going to listen to, then that's a pretty good one, I reckon.
Well, we were 12, right? This is like 1970. And in fact, the year they broke up, you know, they did those first Sex Records in 3 fucking years. It's pretty incredible.
Oh, my God. I had no idea they did them so quickly. It's amazing.
So in this pad, you're Brisbane, a Gold Coast?
No, I was born in a place called Townsville, which is not a joke name. That's actually the name of the town. It's incidentally also the name of the town where the Powerpuff Girls come from, but they're not the same place either. But anyway, Townsville's in, like, North Queensland, up towards, you know, the tropics near the reef. But it's also it was a big military base. My dad was in the army, so I was born there, and then we moved around a lot. We lived in England, and we lived in Sydney and Canberra, but then I ended up doing all my high school and, you know, a couple of years of, like, you know, what we call university, college, you'd say, like, in Townsville. And then I got the hell out of there and moved down to Brisbane, which was, like, the nearest sort of capital city.
That's why I brought up Brisbane, because that's the most north I've been to Australia 5 times to play different groups. And Jay Mask is Porno for Power was first time. And then who's the other cats? No, it was Jay Maskus first, then Portal for Pyros, and then Stooges, of course. Okay. North I've been was the Gold Coast, was Brisbane. It's a little more north than Gold Coast, but that part. So that what's that state called? Queensland?
Queensland, yeah.
Queensland, because you guys got some, like Canada, there's some states, there's some territories. No, they got provinces, that's right.
Yeah, we got a lot of, and they're very big, you know, I guess like being in states.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's about the same size, but there's just not as many people. So, you know, like for me to get to Brisbane from Townsville, if I wanted to, like when I went to the Big Day Out for the first time, it was like 1994.
And that was it.
Played.
It wasn't. I was there in 96.
Yeah, I remember because I missed it and I couldn't go, and I was real devoured because I think Weezer played as well, and it's like 20 hours on a bus to go from Townsville, or 24 hours on a bus to go down. And,
yeah, there's 5 big towns and you got to kind of fly between them because they're spread apart.
Totally.
Jesus Lizard was on that tour. So any of these cats you grew up, was there musical instruments, or were your folks listeners?
They were more listeners, not really instruments. My sister had like a half-hearted attempt at learning guitar, so there was a guitar around, but I wasn't that interested. I actually played the bagpipes for a while. I was always singing, like I was always into singing from a really early age, so I was always like singing stuff in the shower, and then I heard the bagpipes. These kids at my school played the bagpipes, and so I decided I wanted to learn the bagpipes, and I did that for a few years. But after I went to the music festival, you know, in 94, and I saw, you know, like the Ramones and Smashing Pumpkins, and I think Soundgarden, you know, this was the height of the grunge era, and I was definitely upset. And I came back from that festival, and all I wanted to do was be in a band, you know.
You know what? There was an Australian man. Well, of course, the Bad Seeds was on that tour with Portal for Pyro, but Custard.
Oh, yeah.
So you know of them, because nobody knows about those cats. I thought they're great.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're pretty big. You know, they're pretty big in Australia, and they're also from Brisbane, and so I know those guys pretty well. I know Dave, the singer, reasonably well. He's a real amazing songwriter. They're still going. They just sort of reformed and did a couple of new albums, and they're really great. And
yeah, so, this was 25 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
They were funny guys. I think they liked that. They told me they liked the Pixies. Okay.
And they were mad Pixies fans. And also, I think Eric Drew Feldman might have produced one of their albums. And they had a few little associations with sort of Frank Black and that scene, I guess. And there was definitely that vibe through their music.
They play, Eric Drew Feldman play with the cat. He's on Shiny Beast. Yeah, Shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no, he ain't on Shiny Beast, maybe, because he had to go play with somebody else and leave. They had one of the Fowler brothers doing air bass, which was like kind of a trombone or some shit. My memory sometimes. But let's get back to school. So at school you played bagpipes. You weren't in the marching band or maybe they
I was in like the local marching band, although it was basically just a group of expatriate Scottish sort of alcoholics that would occasionally play bagpipes and stuff.
In grade school, alcoholics?
What's that?
They were alcoholics in grade school?
No, these were like the band that I was a part of that was like a traditional, it was this old Scottish traditional Highland pipe band. So I just went and got lessons from them. But as far as I could gather, they all just drank a lot. And
we got at our schools sometimes. Some schools don't even have music programs, but some have marching bands for the sports, for the football team and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had, I was in cadets. Like I had this very bad failed career as an army cadet. We have this thing called, I think you might have something equivalent over there, but it's like, I think because my dad was in the army, I wanted to like try and, follow in his footsteps. So we had this thing where, you all do parades and you dress up in the uniform. And like, so I did the bagpipes at one of our parades for the army cadets, but after I discovered rock and roll, the cadets sort of went into the bin.
Well, even military things have fucking bands, right, to keep people marching in line and stuff. So from Ohio's pop was in the band on a boat, on a cruiser that was over there where you guys are in the Second War. Let me ask you about this. After school, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band, did you do that with your buddies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we had a few bands up in Townsville. We had a band called the Purple Hearts, and then we had a band called the Drowners. I think we named after that Suede song. I was really into Britpop as well. It's weird being in Australia and being like halfway between sort of grunge and like this American, rock music, and then also this quite sort of mannered English, sort of pop music that was happening at the same time. So, but yeah, we had a bunch of those kind of bands, and pretty soon realized that we had to go down to Brisbane to, to do anything. So me and my best friend from, Giants of Science, we moved down to Brisbane and started doing it more seriously.
Well, when you were in Townsville, did you do any gigs?
Yeah, we did a few gigs.
The first one.
I'm trying to think. We played at like various sort of, I remember we went back to the school the year after I graduated because they had some sort of Fate or something like that, and we played at the Fate, and we also did like various little sort of rock, band. What are they called? Battle of the Bands kind of things.
Well, tell me about the first one. Was it a pants shitter? Was it scary?
I think so. I can't even remember which was the first one. Isn't that terrible? But like,
no,
I always
look, it's really... it's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. But were you guys copying off records, or were you writing your own material?
We had a couple, of very, very simple songs, but we were totally obsessed with, Nirvana and that kind of thing, and so we were writing really simple chords, but we were mainly just covering, stuff like Nirvana and, but also Oasis and all sorts of I was like really into the Smashing Pumpkins, so please don't hold that against me, but yeah, we would do a lot of those songs and yeah. But yeah, always I started writing stuff pretty early on. Like I was always both for bands and also just started writing like acoustic stuff as well and yeah.
Okay, I want to play Remember When We Went for a Swim.
Remember when we went for a swim? Get in.
when we went for a swim. I said, you just gotta get your head wet. No regrets. Just get your head wet. And remember how we both took a dive. We felt so alive. We both took a dive. And in the end you didn't want to get out. You were swimming about. Oh yeah, we went for a swim. Come on, let's swim, baby. Wish I hadn't sent you away on this rainy day. Why'd I send you away? 'Cause even though the weather's too bad to swim, we could stay in. Well, baby, let's stay in.
Thank you.
From Pedro Show. Remember when we went for a swim, but Ben Salder. Symphony number 9, Beyond. This is third movement, Essence of Time Travel. Wharton Tears, drummer man, but he also a composer, and he's got this whole symphony, number 9, Beyond. And this is all the rough version. He's got, you know, it's all written for symphony one day. Thurston Moore after that. Thurston got a new record he's made with this situation, The Park Bench. Is the name of the tune, and Ben Addy, brand new, up in York part of England, Even When It Breaks, Jim Stewart, Dead Sea, brand new, also brand new from Iokoi, I-O-K-O-I, you know, sorry for fucking that up if I did, Flexistatic Extended, and Bomas Prendon from D.C., I have Agriculture, not Agriculture, but two words, pun rock, not punk rock, right? Pun rock. Hands Rotten from Switzerland, Fog Zero, and finally Five Girl Rum, a Ben Salter, which reminds me of a Wire song that was big influence that I still do with my missing man, called Three Girl Rum. But this is the Ben Salter take, you know. Of course, it's got to be five. You know the law of fives, right? For every two things revealed, keep three concealed.
That's a good one.
Luminous Trilogy, Robert Anton Wilson, Robert Shea. You got to read it one day when you got some time. So let's get back to your story of music. You and your buddy, you go to Brisbane with the Giants of Science.
Yeah, we started Giants of Science down there because we moved to Brisbane and got into smoking weed a lot and started getting really into like stoner rock. So we were really obsessed with the first Queens of the Stone Age album, you know, the brown one.
You know, look, let's talk about Ben Salter music. No more other band names.
I'm trying to deflect the question.
No more other. You and your buddy doing
Well, we started jamming. We met a few people down there who were like, particularly my friend Steve, the drummer, who was like, had amazing taste in music, and we would go around to his house and just jam, you know, all day like you do back then. And we would make, you know, like little scenes and shit for our band, and we decided we were going to have lab coats. We needed to stand out from the crowd, and we came up with the name Giants of Science from this sort of high school, like this series of books that were made for school kids and stuff, and all about, you know, famous scientists and whatever else. And so we had these lab coats, and we're playing this sort of stoner rock music, but sort of with a twist, you know. We were really into lots of different stuff. It all sort of got, but basically rock and roll. And
there
that was around.
There was an Australian band. I mean, Australia had their own hard rock thing way before that desert stuff over here, called Scientists, right? And
yeah.
Right, and Lime Spiders, and because Australia was way into Stooges, probably more than the U.S. at that time or before.
Yeah, right.
One thing I remember: Morro Bay Bugs, these kind of crabs that are, I don't know, these kind of crustaceans. It's half crab, half shrimp, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Moreton Bay bugs, yeah.
Moreton Bay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you eat some of those?
Yeah, I did once.
Oh, they're fantastic. It looks, you know, like we can get, because we've got real cheap seafood here at the moment because no one wants to buy it from, you know, all the COVID business. So all of a sudden everyone in Australia can afford to eat you know, crayfish and lobster. And
yeah, well, it looks like those things are glued together. Australia has a lot of life that's different. They're very interesting.
Yeah.
So look, there was a club scene. You guys were doing gigs, right? Did you record? Was there studios?
Yeah, there was a really good scene in Brisbane, and there always has been for a while, and a really great rock and roll scene, you know, stretching all the way back to the Saints. And
Kim Salmon, right?
Yeah, oh no, Kim Salmon was, he was in Scientists. They were sort of Western Australia, but we had, you know, Chris Bailey and Ed Cooper from the Saints.
Well, maybe he moved there, because I remember when we played with B Suburban, he joined them.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah, maybe, fuck, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Kim has played in so many bands and moved around so much, it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know, like, but you know, Brisbane had its own sort of weird history. I mean, particularly the Saints being like, they're sort of the, you know, the most legendary band to come out of Brisbane.
Stranded.
But also, you know,
I'm Stranded.
Yeah.
Great.
Huge song.
And so did you guys record? Did you do your first recording there?
Yeah, we did a demo tape. It was called Get Your Hands on Science. And we gave that, so there was like two record stores in town, Rocking Horse Records and Skinny's. And so we went down where I would just spend all my time, because at the same time I was busking, right? I was like playing Beatles covers in the street for money. Yeah, we went and took our little demo tape down to both the record shops, and, you know, they listened to it, and the guys at Skinny's were like, you know, we're starting this record label and we want you to do an EP. And so that's sort of all how it all just kicked off. And like, we went to a recording studio near Byron Bay. I'm sure you've been to Byron Bay.
That's where I ate those Moreton Bay bugs.
Yeah, nice. It's a beautiful spot. Well, there's a little recording studio in the hinterland there, incidentally also called Rocking Horse, and we recorded our little EP, and yeah, it was, you know, a crazy time, like lots of stuff happening all at once, and doing tours with just about every every band that was coming through town, we were doing the supports for. So we played with so many, you know, so many amazing bands.
Well, you opened up, right? You didn't tour your... Touring's really hard in Australia.
Yeah, well, we were doing that as well. You know, we were doing our own tours to Sydney and Melbourne, and it was basically like, yeah, get in the van and drive for 20 hours and then play four shows and get back in the van and drive back. But yeah, we were doing both, you know, doing lots of supports and then, and doing lots of our own shows and just building up those, you know, relationships that I still have today with people in other towns, you know, that were into the same stuff and sleeping on their couches. And
did you ever go that. The other direction, like Darwin and Alice Springs?
No, never. You know what? I've never been to Alice Springs. Isn't that terrible?
No, it ain't terrible. It's just, you know, because it's kind of out there, right? And I was just curious if people did. You know, I got to tell the listeners, when you go more north in Australia, it's more tropical.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on the other side of the equator.
Yeah, it's real hot up there. I mean, even Townsville was hot enough for me. Now I'm in Tasmania, so that tells you about how I feel about the heat.
So he's way in the south, but that's cold because it's opposite. Yeah. In fact, he's in summertime now, people.
Yeah, it's glorious, Mike. Yeah. What can I tell?
Okay. So what happens with the giants of science?
Well, we did like another, we kept touring. We did an album called The History of Warfare. And then we did another album. But then in the meantime, I started this other band called The Gin Club, which was like, I was running. So I was still sort of busking. You know, I don't know if that, you have that word in the States.
We know about it. Yeah. You put out your hat.
Yeah, exactly. So I was doing that to sort of still pay the bills, and I was running this sort of open mic night at an Irish pub in the middle of Brisbane called O'Malley's, and I was just like hosting it, and then I would sort of encourage people that came along to play their own stuff. Like, you know, I was like, you know, if you want to do covers, that's fine, but it'd be really cool to hear some of your own songs. So. And these people would come along, you know, from all walks of life. Some people that I knew, just other people just completely random that I met. One guy from Sweden, you know, that was just happened to be passing through town, and they all got up and did their two songs at the open mic night. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, these songs are amazing. And it just seems stupid that that more people can't hear, this stuff. So we would like go back to someone's house after the pub and just keep playing our songs, and everyone would learn everyone's songs, and we're like, we should start a band. So we started this other band called The Gin Club, and we're all really obsessed with, you know, like folk and you know, Neil Young and the band.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour, Ben. February 13, 2021 Dish Wop Pedro Show special guest Ben Salter. Hold tight for hour two. February 13, 2021 It's the second hour of the Wop Pedro Show.
Did calm down ever calm anyone down? I have no idea what is allowed. You don't have to be crazy, but it helps. I think a bit of anger comes rising up. There's a virulent strain of heat and violence that needs to come to an end. Damaged shits and egos on a bender of pity party that cannot end well. Genetic unhappiness, a generational malaise. Plans. Easter eggs. There's a rhyming structure and a rhyming scheme to this poetry.
I was on register. I was learning how to do register. And if any area, the area is very...
받았을 때 26이 되면 버스터가 되잖아요. 그러니까,
anyone's ever worked okay. in like a drive-thru?
I need you.
Oh, Jesus.
30 people in the small...
Hola.
March, so it's very tough.
Como me gusta esa bata.
It's like
already
March
I'm getting tipsy
to April. I was...
Where the fuck were you hiding?
I was too scared to ask for a drink of water.
I should stop streaming.
I'm too scared.
Why?
Why?
The last thing I remember.
I stabbed you, Nam.
Porque yo creo que dicen ese
bicho. No me acuerdo si.
It was a public one.
Ipe, tú llegas.
But now I've actually got boils, so I've been customizing it to however I want.
And I was like, oh no, oh that's fuck, oh no, so what do I do? I'm gonna
little her changes.
So I was like,
it's hot in bed. But then she did it. Let's go hot again.
And I like, I'm starting to remember how I like shaking my head. Yes, but like also shaking.
Yeah, don't be cool.
Stop shooting me.
딜러가 오픈 카드 하고
They're not called dummies where you are, right?
It's small. It's only supposed to fit like 6 to 7 people because that's how many people
whoosh
pass out.
Ed. Blue, yellow, orange.
So I got 3 hours in my shift.
Burnout.
100 degrees.
Here come. Burn a drive. 다음 카드가 높은 카드 나올 확률이 높고.
However, there was.
Oh my god, that's so terrible.
What? Oh, thank you.
I have so many.
And he was like, are you okay?
Well, I was...
It's very toasty, very warm.
No one's in here.
My race.
No,
I am white. I am.
Thank you so much for the 2-1 sub. I do really appreciate it. And enjoy the emotes.
Yeah, you can get me.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
What do you call it that?
Why do I call it a dummy? Why does he call it a nuke?
That's what she called it. Ask him.
What the fuck is shooting randomly?
With a ton of bodies, like, around him.
Wasted when I met you, dude. At the lasagna
house. Like, whenever I was...
I don't know what I told you.
The lady was, like, teaching us how... And I saw my vision.
Why? Oh, and I know you're fucked.
He's gone, dude. He just like left the conversation.
He's gone. He's not. He's
go to another world.
Why are you shooting people with guns?
Small area.
She's not mine.
We have seen each other.
Are you sure, baby?
My demon.
I'm not right now.
Yes.
So.
No. He's shit face.
She has a little bit of confidence.
Cut the fire. Dagger. Dagger.
Sorry, I'm lagging really hard. I need to.
Wait, where do I go? A random question. Do you hear
Is my character okay for you? Augur, is my character okay?
Sorry, I can't see anything. Oh, God. It's not even the fact that
I've been blackout drunk on here, apparently, and married some people.
Yeah. So,
그냥 넘기고 그렇죠. 넘겨주는 거예요. 그냥 넘겨서 넘겨.
Live from Fever. So start off the second hour with "Did Calm Down Ever Calm Anyone Down?" Yeah, I know. This is fucking thing, people saying that shit to you in an especially excited manner, right? As I can say. Ben Salter. And then Werewolf. Here's three songs from this, because it's 30 years now for Kill Rockstars, so they're, every month they're putting out a song. And Werewolf, Little Mazin, with Jad Fair, Thor Harris, Craig Ross, and then some song from Michaela Davis and Mary Lou Lord, and me and the Black Gang doing a cover, Bikini Kill, Rebel Girl. And then from Baltimore, Network Glass. Man, I dig this cat, Door. He's an incredible musician. That's like, and a tune called 508, which is how long it is, you know, of course. Hearsay after that with the KL Crisis. This is a band from the desert here. Before that, Caius stuff. It's called Hearsay, and they're getting back together. And Ben Salter after that, I think after 27 years, a producer, like, held the tapes hostage. There's some drama story. And then Ben Salter, you, brother, with Give Them the Lot. The Lot. I remember hearing that in England the first time Minuteman went over. Yeah, The Lot. We'll service The Lot.
Give Them the Lot.
Yeah, right. There we go. Right. So, okay. So this is bitching. You made a band out of cats just doing open mic night. So what happens with the gin club?
Once again, I mean, I'm sure you probably know what it's like when you start a band with that's really pure and you don't really expect anything to happen and you're just doing it because you're really into it. Of course, things do start to happen because people really dig that, you know, they dig that vibe and they're really into that, it was really inclusive band, you know, we had a lot of members and we're all swapping instruments all the time on stage and taking turns singing songs and pretty soon we were like, you know, even getting bigger than Giants of Science. We were going down to Melbourne all the time. That was when I started really spending a lot of time in Melbourne. And we went over to play at Muse Expo in LA, which was a really big deal because I'd never been to the States before. And we played some shows over there and also went to Canadian Music Week. And we, once again, we did lots of shows with supporting a lot of bands that came to Australia and played with a lot of Australian bands. And then it was a little bit of crossover with Giants of Science, so I was playing that stuff and then also playing this sort of folk music and then, and then that's sort of what ended up with, you know, I ended up sort of doing more of my solo stuff after that, just because, you know, I realized that, you know, people, it's like with bands, people, not everyone wants to spend their whole life sleeping on people's couches and hanging out in bars, so I sort of figured I better start just doing my own stuff and stop dragging people, around Australia in a van.
And, some of these pubs I remember were kind of hotels. Like, where you played was kind of the bar area, the hotel. I remember before with Jay Mask and stuff like that. So it just becomes Ben Salter Man Alone?
Yeah, for a while. I mean, I just realized I got to about, I sort of turned around 30 and the Gin Club was still doing albums and we were, you know, we ended up doing, we're still sort of together, both these bands, still in contact. We haven't done anything with Giants for a while, but we, you know, obviously with the COVID and everything, it's difficult to get together. And so those guys are all in Brisbane and I'm down in Tasmania. The Gin Club is doing a streaming show, when is that? The 26th, I think, of, February for our bandmate Brad is having a little bit of a hard time at the moment. So we're doing like a streaming thing. So yeah, we're still doing stuff with the Gin Club, but, yeah, I just figured, look, it'd be easier if I could just start playing my own solo shows. It means I could be self-sufficient and I could do all the things I wanted to do without having to sort of drag other people around or rely on, you know, I was always getting angry with all the band members saying, you know, we should move to England or we should go to the States or we should do, and they're like, you know, we don't really want to do that. I want to get a job and, you know, I'm sick of going away all the time and various other things, you know. So, yeah, I started releasing, like, I did a little EP. I was always, like, writing songs, you know, all the songs in the Gin Club were sort of like these solo songs, but then I got together with, I met a guy named Gareth Lydiard from a band here called The Drones. I don't know if you've heard of those guys.
Actually, there's a lot of bands named The Drones over the years. Popular name. One time I saw Yeah, I saw this at the Hong Kong Cafe in Chinatown. This was like 40 years ago. And they got beat up from dudes in the audience. I felt so fucking bad for them. That's bullshit.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I want to play, I'm going to play a tune that you wrote called I'm No Ornithologist. Like
bird, oh, cool.
Bird scientist.
Thank you. that you ain't talking. Yeah, I wanna be what I wanna be. I'm ain't talking. My thoughts, you ain't talking to me.
Like a mainframe on its last legs, such am I. I'm for maybe just one more update. Just passing by. You're a particle swimming around. Behind my eyes. So many questions. Should come as no surprise. Commodification of the daylight. Diminished agency. Slow on the uptake. Strange currency indeed. Last legs, such an I. This took place in the summer of the loud birds flying through the sky.
From Pedro's show, Chunk of Music star Ben Salter. I'm no ornithologist, and we off air people were talking about birds, like fucking flocks of cockatoos I saw, also like kangaroos and just hanging out.
Yeah, we got an echidna that lives in our yard. Would you believe, little spidey,
I believe. Then my friend Nez in the Hokkaido part of Japan. By the way, they just had a Jishin earthquake. I think by Fukushima, like, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, whenever that was. I hope everything's okay. But anyway, my buddy Nez, he's an Irish cat, and he lives there now, Hokkaido. I actually met him in England. And he sent me a bunch of bands from there, really interesting. So here's some music. Plop with His and Her Circumstances. Not Sunchilds from A Lonely Beckman, maybe that's that soccer player, huh? Not Work from Of Reality, no, the tune's Of Reality, Not Work, Not Wonk, Not Work, it's Not Wonk, idiot, what, McMango, no, that's probably MC Mango, everything, yeah, and then Spartan Kicks with Sloth Loves Futon, Zosun Spark with Thief Man. Yes, what's happening in Hokkaido right now? Big live house scene. And then finally, Ben Salter, Summer of the Loud Birds. So you're in summer now, and it's early morning. It's like 8 in the morning, 8:30 now for you people. And you say it's loud with the birds.
Yeah, we get we live in a really, really beautiful spot, like where I'm sitting, I'm staring out at the ocean, the staring out directly down towards Antarctica pretty much. We have parrots, we have lorikeets, rainbow lorikeets, and we have like white cockatoos and black cockatoos, and it's pretty magical. Yeah, but they do make a little bit of a racket. It was a good tie-in though with the Summer of the Loudbirds. That was that worked out pretty well.
We had some wild ones here. They're gone now in Pedro, but people would take these fucking cormorants and, you know, they'd be all bitey and shit, so they let them free. So there was flocks of these things. Cherry-headed parrots. Yeah. Now, up in the city, too, there's a dock called Parrots, but they ain't parrots, of a Telegram Hill. Anyway, how'd you get to Tasmania? You should tell the people.
Well, I moved down to Melbourne when I started doing the solo stuff, because Melbourne was really, for a long time there, and probably still is, the sort of the, you know, it was Sydney in the 80s and 90s in Australia was the real epicenter of bands and rock and roll, and then it just sort of moved down to Melbourne, and it's where all the venues were, so many venues, and it was the only place really in Australia where you could go to Melbourne and play. If you wanted to be a musician, you could go and play like every night of the week, you know, if you wanted to. Until all this COVID shit happened, you still could, you know. Really vibrant scene. So I lived there for about 6 years. That's where I met my partner, Jacqueline, and I was playing around all the time, and I recorded a few solo albums down there, and then started coming down to Tasmania for various things. There's a big museum down here called Mona that was built around 10 years ago, almost exactly 10 years ago, and they have festivals, offshoots. As you know, we were discussing Brian Ritchie from the Violent Femmes directs programs, a lot of the music. But anyway, they had me down for the various things, and I started spending a lot of time in Tasmania. And I was, you know, I've got some family history from here. My father's family are all from Tasmania. But I never really came here when I was a kid or anything. And it's just incredibly beautiful. It's a bit wilder, you know, it's an island, and there's a bit of a darkness here. There's a lot of really awful history.
Yeah, I know about that, Jesus. You know where Brian Ritchie is from? Same town as Liberace, Milwaukee. Got to cut you off here, though, Ben, because we're at the end of the second hour, February 13, 2021 edition. Live for Pedro Show, special guest Ben Sutter. Hang tight for hour three. February 13, 2021, it's the third hour of the Live from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Then it
off of being our show. It's deja vu all over again, people. Pilot error. You can't blame me for quitting. Ben Salter with Digger's Waltz. This little town tragic comedy. Adam Mendoza, Art Matters 1. There's an Art Matters 2 I'll play next. Deep in the Woods, 66. Heavy lyrical content out of Dublin. Quiet Pig out of Italy, Friday night now. We have won Sam Locke Award to Quiet Man out of Iowa City. Live. And then finally, it became a thing. Ben Salter. Ben, enlighten us to Digger's Waltz.
Well, we call in Australia like, war veterans. We have a thing called the Return Servicemen's League, the RSL, and it's a really old tradition. We call the soldiers like the grunts or the infantry are called diggers in Australia. I think something to do with digging trenches back in World War One or something.
Yeah,
but
wasn't there something called Anzac?
Yeah, the Anzacs is what we call our, the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, basically. They call them Anzacs.
And there was a sad thing about a parade, Waltz and Matilda, right? And these guys had their legs, Gallipoli,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's all part of our self-mythologizing here in Australia. So when you go, we have this one day, we have Anzac Day, right, like you were talking about, which is the day when we remember all the people that have, died in wars and all that kind of stuff. And so all the veterans, they go down to the RSL, we call it, and they get really drunk and they stagger around. And when they're staggering around drunk, we call it the Digger's Waltz.
Okay. That's a little different than this parade. It was, what I'm talking about. Waltz and Matilda, maybe it's an Australian song.
Yeah, there's a song. There's a song called the band played Waltz and Matilda. Yeah, it's all about Anzac Day and about they have a big parade. I mean, I guess they have a parade first, then they start drinking. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, there's always parades at the beginning of wars, but the ones at the end, no one wants to go to because it's fucking reality, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing to celebrate.
Yeah. But God, I wish human beings would learn. Sacrifices by people. I understand that the diggers, probably from digging trenches and shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you've written buttloads of songs. How do you get inspired?
I get inspired by everything. And, increasingly, it's all about, the method of writing is sort of makes the inspiration come from anywhere. I just sort of write down stuff all the time. I watch a lot of Antiques Roadshow, this show from England. They have it in America as well, where people bring all their old stuff on and talk about it. I get a lot of lyrical ideas from there. I love writing songs. I love making sounds. I still get really excited by it.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the sounds. Lyrics, it's kind of, you're an observer, right? But how do you get inspired with the sounds, with the music part?
I don't know. I guess it's a little trickier to keep that fresh. Like, I'm really superstitious about what I listen to, I find it, I have to be in the right state of mind to listen to certain kinds of music. Like, I tend to listen to a lot of jazz and a lot of like classical and like Japanese traditional music and that kind of stuff, where it's not anything like the music that I make, I suppose, although hopefully those influences sort of start to seep in. But I like to just keep it really random. Like, I don't like to sit down and like go, I'm going to work out a song and I'm going to, make it, it's going to be these chords. I prefer to just like hit record on a computer or whatever it is I'm recording on, or a phone or whatever, and just see what comes out. And that seems to be the way that sort of keeps me interested these days.
You always compose on guitar?
No, I do a little bit of stuff. Like, I like to write on, to start with, drums quite often. So I play the drums, or I play like a beat on a keyboard, or I play just anything. But it's really nice to start with something like rhythmically, and then bass, actually. Like, I really like writing on bass, and then adding the stuff. I'm trying to sort of get away from using lots of guitars. It's just sort of, it seems to me to have more magic when I'm playing an instrument that I don't really know what I'm doing, so it feels like more fresh, I guess. Yeah.
Bass is a composition tool, I'm kind of a proponent of that. I think it's interesting because you leave a lot of room for your collaborators. When did you get into bass? Did you always did the bass? Did you always do drums? When did you get? Is this from the same club when you guys traded instruments and shit like that?
Yeah, totally. And before that, in Giants of Science, like I would always, me and Steve, the drummer, we would write a lot of the songs together, and we would just swap. Like he would write a lot of stuff on guitar, and I'd get on the drums and play. Like I'm not a great drummer, but I can play enough to, you know, hold my own, I guess. And then when we did the Gin Club, I played a lot of bass in that band because we're always swapping instruments, and played a lot of drums as well, and never really picked up keys. I'm still want to learn piano, but I really love playing bass. And
that's a good idea, people. You hear that? Trade places in your bands. Look, I'm going to play the Surmountable Realm.
Ways of being somehow impervious to irony. The eye is seen, no longer malleable to chivalry. The tires are singing on the broken bits of bitumen. The clouds are bringing a dearth of mental acumen. Somehow stuck, movement involuntary. Out of luck, potent idiosyncrasy. Read the riot act, and it didn't ring untrue. Hypochondriac, what's this insolent to do? Looking down onto the green grass from a plane that is now yawing. I am yawning in the clouds, I am ignoring all the warnings. Looking down upon the rubble, I am drifting and descending. There's a meaning I am bending. Neurons firing in all the wrong directions. Now all the bets are off, just not making the connections. Ways of seeing, somehow impervious to tragedy. The eye is being, lightly shrugging off its history.
think that because the body has limits, like mine does, that the brain does too. But my brain's going at warp speed. Sometimes you approach a person that was referred to you for something, for a business deal or for a job. They see the chair before they see my mental ability. Some people do that, but other people don't. I had a job when I came here. I first worked at Walmart, and the manager that hired me apparently saw more than a man in a chair. I was there for a while. The thing is, people are apprehensive. There's too much fear. What if this happens, or what if that happens on the job? How is he going to do this? How is he going to do that? How is he going to manage this, and how is he going to manage that? But they could worry about that about someone who's not in a chair. You got to make the best of it. I try to. Sometimes no, and sometimes yes.
Y for Pedro show last music for this edition, The Surmountable Realm, which is a provocative title because people use that other way of saying surmountable, an antonym. And they probably don't even realize why they're saying it. They like all the syllables and it makes them feel big. Maybe. Manly Old Maresca with The Manual for Errors after that. Acoustic Malpanza. Warp Speed from David Greenberger and Prime Lands. Voice Stops, Clatter, and Part from Xenochronic AMM All-Stars with Watt on Bass. This is Trading Files. I was part of this thing. It's South London. Over the internet. Ben Salter finally was second-rate entertainer. So what about this thing about Trading Files? Do you do that?
Yeah, oh man, now that you mention it, I'm going to be sending you some files. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I've been doing heaps of it over lockdown. I've got we've recorded a couple of albums. I got this other band, this punk rock band called The Young Liberals. And we've got like 8 albums. I think we just released our 8th album, just a couple of months ago. But I've also recorded like a new solo album that I haven't released that's all stuff, people playing drums in different places and people playing bass and keys, and yeah, it's been, I love it, you know, it's just another way that of collaborating, you know, I just love collaborating with people and love making new stuff, and so yeah.
But that's a trip, because on the other hand, you said I had to be solo man alone.
Well, yeah, that's the weird thing, because on my albums, you know, I love having guests, and I love exploring all the sounds, but the solo thing was really more when I'm performing live, you know, because it's expensive to have a band in Australia. It's expensive to get people around. And if you've got Ben Salter written on the, you know, on the poster, I can't be, you know, I got to pay the band, you know, you got to pay for all the stuff and it's expensive. And I just I'm getting old and I'm getting grumpy. And so I just can't be bothered rehearsing. And so I prefer to just make the stuff and then ask questions later. So yeah, when I play live, I tend to just try and figure out how to play all these weird songs that I've put all these keyboards and stuff on and try to figure out how to play them with just an acoustic guitar, you know?
You mean these days you like to collab with recording, but when it comes to gigs, it's still man alone.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I whenever I release a new album, I try to do a band and have, you know, different band. And but yeah, a lot of the time recently I've just been playing solo, yeah.
So a little experience, right? You've been doing this a couple of years. What about somebody younger getting in this racket? What advice?
Oh, I'd just say, you know, do it. You got to do it for the right reasons. Like, you got to be in love with, you got to be in love with sleeping on the couch, and you got to be in love with hanging out with your friends and for 4 hours waiting to play a gig, and you got to be in love with talking about, you know, all the Built to Spill albums, and you got to be in love with, you know.
She's from Boise.
No, stuff about being famous and being rich and all that shit is just like, it's just not what it's about, you know. It's about the music, and it's about making stuff and forging friendships and, you know, yeah, that's what I would say to people, yeah.
Doug up in Boise. Sometimes I've seen him with like 3 or 4 guitar players on stage.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Look, where can people find you on the internet, Ben?
They can find me. It's like I've got a website. It's bensalter.com.au for Australia.
Spell it out for people, okay?
Spell it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Ben Salter, bensalter.com.au. And then I've also got a Bandcamp page, which is probably the best place to go.
Well, you got probably links from your site to that. Yeah, Bandcamp's really good. I think Bandcamp's the best place for music people to get their stuff heard and out there.
Yeah, totally.
It's been a big honor, Ben. When you get some new releases, another buttload, can you flow into me? And I'd like to have you back on the show. And if you want me to collaborate, play some bass on your thing, I'm going to do it big time.
Oh man, well, Mike, you know, I got to say, I've been reading your sort of newsletter. I've been on your mailing list for like 20 years now, and it's such a source of inspiration. And so, yeah, absolute honor. The honor's all mine. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, right back. Yeah, but I want you back, okay? People, February 13, 2021, edition. Why Peter should keep you powder dry.